Finally Friday.
That, whoa, yes.
Finally
very
Friday.
Very true, and I think you punctuated it beautifully, Wendy. Yeah. Ooh. Ooh. Hi, I'm Bill, and that's Wendy. And welcome to the bonus hour, the stream of consciousness. But for the next, 48 minutes.
What roughly, are we going to be doing?
Well, just whatever we feel like. It's
Free for All Friday?
It's Free for All Friday is what it is.
Did that just happen right now?
Yeah. There's no rules. It's like the Outback Steakhouse.
I've never been to an Outback Steakhouse.
Maybe for your birthday. I don't want to get you excited, but maybe for your birthday we'll go. We'll go to the Bloomin' Onion.
No, I'm good.
All right.
Does every steakhouse have a version of a Bloomin' Onion?
Oh, I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. I really don't know. You just said something interesting before we went on the air that I was not aware of. We had this this airline tragedy on Southwest the other day. So Southwest has made the announcement that they're going to compensate all surviving passengers. We already lost somebody. We know that. Tragic story. But for everybody else on the plane, they will be compensated to the tune of?
Southwest Airline is giving a payout to those on Flight 1380. I heard it this morning during the Steve Cochran show. And they will be giving $5,000 checks to passengers on Flight 1380. Some passengers received a check after the deadly engine failure. In a letter to passengers, the airline expressed, quote, sincere apologies for the fatal incident and included the check.
Per person, not per family, right?
It says per person.
Per person.
In addition to the money, passengers will also receive a $1,000 travel voucher.
All right. I think those are nice gestures, but I wonder if there isn't going to be some passengers on the flight that would say, yeah, but $5,000 isn't going to begin to cut what I just went through. It was a horrible ordeal. I thought I was going to lose my life. I still think there may be a lawsuit or two, don't you?
See, what is my problem? Because if I was on that flight, and I know I say this now because I wasn't on it, I wouldn't feel like I deserved any money. It's like I just feel so terrible for the passenger who lost her life.
How would this have been different if that part of the equation was taken out of it?
There was no death.
Let's say nobody died on the flight, that it was just a really, really difficult flight. And let's say that the engine exploded and there was shrapnel and a window blew out. Let's say that happened, but nobody lost their life. Then you say to yourself, well, that's a nice gesture on Southwest's part, right? They don't have to do that.
Yeah, but they should just give the $1,000 travel voucher. I think that's adequate.
I think this is just a nice way of saying
it is.
You just went through a horrible ordeal, and we're thinking about you. To a multi-billion-dollar company like Southwest, is that's no big deal to them, you know?
I know, but I would feel like it's blood money if I took it.
That's
I really would.
Yeah,
I have a lot of weird guilt. I really, truly do. But I would feel funny, like I'm not worthy of this. You know,
you had suggested to me that they pool that money and they give it to the victim's family, to the lady who
lost
her
life,
Jennifer Reardon's family. But I said to you that the amount that the Reardon family takes out of this is going to supersede this.
Doesn't matter.
By so much.
No amount of money in the world could make up for what happened.
Oh, I think that all the time. I always think if I was in some sort of an accident with a settlement, you'd always say to yourself, I'd rather have my loved one back than countless millions.
But then you'd go, well, since I don't have them.
Yeah.
See,
I do deserve something.
Yeah, but I don't know. Money is the root of all evil, Bill.
I wouldn't know.
I wouldn't either.
I would love to know someday.
I am trying so hard to win that $1 million from the Jewel Monopoly. I know.
Are you just one piece away on several different places?
Listen, all it is the Lipton tea one. If somebody has it, I swear I will give you, part of it.
You know everyone's missing that same one.
Someone has to win it. Someone has to win it. And I shouldn't say this, but this wasn't my jewel. It was a neighboring jewel, but it wasn't mine. And I said, he said, are you playing Monopoly? And I said, yes, I am. Of course, I'm one away from the $1 million.
How hard did he laugh?
He said, everyone is. He goes, no one in this store will win that $1 million. I said, you should not say that. I said, someone's going to win it. And he said, someone will win it, but no one from this store.
Right. Someone in Decatur.
Yeah, but how do you know? The kid in Decatur's probably saying the same thing.
Nah, he knows.
Someone has to win it.
Somebody does have to win it, but the odds are it's Jules Lottery. It's infinitesimal. You're not going to win it.
Bill, I am sick to my stomach because I get sucked into this Monopoly. I'm behind people in line when the clerk says to them, are you playing Monopoly? And they're like, I don't have time for that.
That's what's changed is a couple of years ago when they would do this Monopoly, and McDonald's also did one. Remember?
Yeah.
McDonald's had the same kind of Monopoly game going. So not that long ago, if you were in that checkout line at Jewel, are you playing Monopoly? You bet I'm playing Monopoly. They'd be handing out those tickets like crazy. Now almost everyone's like, I'm on to you.
I'll be honest with you. Almost everyone, the last 30 times I've been to the Jewel.
They say no.
They do. And then I wait for the person who says no to look at me and go, are you playing? Because I don't want to be a beggar. So I don't want to go, I'm playing. Hello, I'll take yours.
Yeah.
Because the clerk will not just give it to you. The person whose pieces they are have to either physically take them and hand them to you.
I always say to the next person in line when they ask me,
why can't I shop behind you?
Every time I shop, they go, are you playing? I go, I'm not. Are you playing? I always say to the person behind me.
No one's doing that to me.
No?
And I know one of those would have been the Lipton tea.
Probably. Yeah, more than likely.
I gotta tell
you,
I have been sucked into this thing for how many years have they been doing this? And I haven't even won a free candy bar.
Nothing.
I win nothing.
All right, years and years ago, I was still in high school when this happened. I almost gave the name of the kid out. But I guess, is there a statute of limitations on McDonald's tickets? I won't say his name.
Yeah, but it go ahead.
All right, no, I'm not gonna, I will not say his name.
And then you say his real name.
That would be wrong.
You do it all the time.
His name was Jimmy Katsifaris.
Do not say that. That is my brother-in-law.
Oh,
that was not his name,
It was
people.
Not Jimmy Katsifaris.
Jasmine, quit humoring
him. He lives a clean life, that Jimmy Katsifaris. He would never be a
he
party
totally
to something
does.
Like this. All right, so I knew a guy who worked at the McDonald's in Oak Forest, and it was during one of the McDonald's Monopoly games. So he said to me, he goes, I can get you a bag of the tickets. Now, a bag was 2,000 tickets. He goes, I can get you a bag of the tickets for $10. I go, I'd be crazy to say no to that. I'm going to win all. Untold riches will come my way.
How old were you?
I was a junior in high school.
That's when your gambling problem started.
That was the day.
That was it.
That was the day. So
my odds, I could see the Rain Man thing going through your head.
I was packing my stuff at home because I was going to buy an apartment somewhere in the Caribbean. This is going to be great. So I go, well, 2,000 tickets for just $10. What will I do with all the things I win? This is insane. So I bought them. I went through them. I won a couple of Filet-O-Fishes, a couple of medium-sized drinks, and a couple of more free tickets. And that's it. Out of 2,000, that's all I won. What does that tell you?
Well, it tells you you didn't win.
I know,
but someone has to.
But then when it was over, if he would have come to me the next day and goes, well, obviously that was not the bag with the winning ticket. I have another bag for $10. I would have done it all over again. Yeah, keep them coming. I got more tens on me. At that point, you know how, Wendy, now I get 20s?
Right.
Back then, I only got $10 a day.
And you spent it all on the mix.
On losing McDonald's tickets.
But I swear to you, like playing the lottery, too. I don't play on a regular basis. I went through a phase where I had graph paper. Me and my friend Terry Gibson, who used to work overnights at the Loop,
yeah.
He got me into this. He's like, there's a strategery. There's a way that this happens, like certain numbers but get picked all the time. And then in my head, I'm going, that can't be it because it's so random. There is no, like, number 7 is the luckiest of numbers.
But those people who have the theories, and I know a handful of people like that, too, who they've got it figured out.
They don't win.
But then
win.
You say, have you won? Well, I've not won, but I've figured out how to win. Well, why didn't you win then?
I guess, when working overnights, it took away some of the time that because I could fill out the graph paper. Well, a 7 was randomly chosen back in April.
Right.
So I did that for a while. I didn't win anything. And every time there's a big Powerball, I say to myself, I'm going to play the little lotto or whatever it's called now.
Yeah.
Because everybody's wasting all their time on the Powerball, so less people are playing the little lotto.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah. But then I can't just go do a quick pick at my local 7-Eleven or gas station. I drive around for like an hour looking for the most out of the way little market.
Because that's who, when you see the winner, that's where they've gone.
Yeah, but that's not really true.
Well, No,
none and of it's... I waste an hour, and then I'm like, I can't find the perfect little mini market, so I'm just going home.
But to anyone who devotes any amount of time figuring out systems or any of that, the truth is, it's just, it's so unpredictable and random that you can't have a system. There's, a system won't help you.
No, it's but just, how do I win? Tell me how to win.
You just have to earn your money. You can't,
I don't want to do it that way. Like, I've spent my whole life trying not to work hard.
Even when I was a degenerate gambler, I'm still a degenerate, but I'm no longer a degenerate gambler. Even when I was, I knew that whatever fortune would come my way, fortune in italics, would not come
through. You'd squander it.
Well, I definitely would squander it.
Oh.
But it would not come through gambling. It would come through the hard work that I've subjected myself to over the years.
You didn't think that way.
No,
I thought there was going to be one big score.
I never gambled. Like, the kind of betting I gambled on was always, like, even money. Yeah, it was never, I was never taking incredible long shots. Like,
right.
Even roulette, where the odds there are 33 to 1 or 34 to 1. Wait, 36. 38 to 1 or 37 to 1. I wasn't even playing that game. Like, I was always playing games where whatever your bet was, you were getting that back. You know, like, kind of even money bets. Nothing that I could ever
retire
on. Oh, look at all the money I just made playing Keno. That wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, but these, like, $85 million Powerball jackpots, that's too much for one person. They shouldn't even allow that to happen. They should just make 85 people happy with $1 million.
That's not a bad idea.
I mean,
that's
I'm not
a bad idea. Because you can, in your life, you say to yourself, I don't think I swear to you, this is true. If I was handed a check today for $85 million, I don't know how I could possibly spend that money. I don't know what I would have to do to spend $85 million in my life. And yet, you always read about people that are either lottery winners or celebrities whose stars have just kind of fizzled. And you go, how much money did you lose, MC Hammer? How much? How did you do that?
Well,
what did you
do? Well, he kept buying those pants.
The pants were overpriced. I'll give him that.
But $85 million is too much, and I know I'm just randomly saying that, but really, when something, like make a thing when it gets over $10 million.
That's the limit.
Anything over $10 million, and you could even do $5
million. Yeah.
But I'd say an even 10. If it gets over $10 million, then there will not be just one winner.
It must be distributed.
Yes.
Interesting. Interesting.
Like maybe once it hits $12 million, there will be 12 winners.
Are you upset by this thought? Because this, I don't play the lottery, so I have no right being upset by it. But if I did play the lottery, this is the part that would get me, is that you could take the money in one lump sum, or you could take it over a period of years. But if you take it all in one lump sum, which, by the way, is my favorite Chinese dish, I always get the one lump sum. And I always say, could you put the duck sauce on the side for me, please? Then you're penalized. You don't win as much money if you get it all
because
at once.
Because they take a larger portion of income tax out.
It's not fair.
It's still worth it. Because one lump sum, I like that too.
So tasty. Get it. Try it with the fried rice next time. Don't get it with
the white
rice. No, get the fried rice.
One lump sum is the way to go because, I mean, knowing my luck, I would win something and decide, okay, I'm going to get so much per year, but
yeah.
Then like I get in a car accident.
Oh, yeah.
And then what happens to that? Does your estate get it? It must.
Mm.
I don't care about anybody else.
I think it says you get it for life, meaning your life, not the life of your family.
But that's not fair if you choose.
Right.
You know, what if.
That's why I'm saying I would want to get it all at once. Just
that's what most people do.
Because then you could put it in some sort of escrow account for your loved ones, I think.
Who's going to do that? If you have $85 million.
I would do that. Don't you think? Cause
well, I'd have to get somebody to help me manage it.
Just to be assured that the people you want to get the money would get the money.
I'd give you money. If I won $85 million.
How much money would I get?
I might give you a mil.
Oh, man. Do you know how many years it takes me on my $20 a day allowance to accumulate $1 million?
If I got $85
million. You'd give me a million?
I don't like you that much, but I'd like working with you.
I'm fine with that as long as I get my million.
I really think
that's
I would.
That's a lot of money. Thank you for that.
Well, see, now this is the best thing about it is I'm never going to win it. So I look like a good person saying that, even though it's never going to come to fruition.
Oh, I guess.
I don't
Why don't you give me more fantasy money? Why stop at a million if you're not going to win it? Give me 10 million.
And I do like you. I was teasing when I said that. But, I mean, I see you every day. I sometimes spend more time with you than I do my family members.
Yeah, I should get at least a million for that.
Well, that's what I mean. And Jasmine is, you know, works really hard, and on Wednesday she has to stay late, and she does an Amy Guth podcast. She
engineers
that. Give
Jasmine $500. She deserves it.
Do you see who the nice one is of the two here?
I just want some money, not a lot.
$500.
No, no, no.
That's a lot of money.
No, I have student loans to pay off.
So. All right, I would maybe give Bill $500,000 now. And
wait,
you,
I was at a million a few
you
minutes
got
ago.
Mean. You got mean. I would give you $500,000 and Jasmine $500,000. Bertrand gets nothing.
See, that's interesting. You wouldn't give him a penny?
I might give him a penny a just penny. To prove my point.
Right. Everyone gets some money. Steve, your money is not as much as everybody else's money.
I'd be like, dude, you are making so much with Steve Bertrand travel. Yeah. Where's the free trip?
Right.
I never got a free trip, so forget it.
That sounds fair. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, Judy Pilek's going to want some money. You know that. Although she doesn't spend a lot of money. She's very thrifty.
And Judy would not give it to us.
I know she wouldn't.
So I'd give her $100.
Mm, even that, I think, is a little much.
It could give go far at Goodwill. Yeah,
right. Right. All right. Well, now I hope you win something. What if you win this Monopoly thing over at the Jewel? What do I get?
Well, that's only a million. If I win it with the Lipton thing that someone's going to send me, I have to give them a portion. What's fair if someone listening has the Lipton thing?
Well, they have it. You don't. So now you split the money with them.
50-50?
50-50, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but who knows that I wouldn't get it on my next trip to the Jewel.
So now you're saying that this missing ticket that you can't get, now all of a sudden there's two of them. There's the one that's
there
been given.
There has to be.
No, if you read the back of the car, you know,
I
you
don't
get
read
the,
that crap.
It tells you.
It's going to disillusion me.
It tells you how many of the tickets there are for each of the categories. But then what happens, let's say, when the game is over, they still have a bunch of tickets that have not been given out.
That's my question.
So then what?
But typically, see, here's the problem, too, because I know last year during Monopoly season, let's just say that,
yeah.
I would go to check out, and they'd say, I'm sorry, this store is out of Monopoly pieces. And I said, I can't accept that. And they're like, well, here, I can write something on here, and you can go to another Jewel and get...
A voucher?
Yeah. And I said, no, I'm not doing that. How inconvenient. I'm never coming back to this Jewel. But then there are people that, like, I have a stack of 20 at home that I haven't gone through yet.
Uh-huh.
What if, like, the winning thing is in that? The contest is over. People, they're all given away, but there are people that didn't go through.
They hoarded them.
Right, and they didn't open them.
There's a deadline, obviously.
Right. So then, all of a sudden, the $1 million doesn't get given away. What do they do? Do they roll it over to the next Monopoly?
No, I don't think they do that. You need to get a list of everybody who shops at your Jewel and call them and remind them, hey, my sources tell me you have about a dozen tickets you've not opened. You're ruining it for everybody. You must open your Monopoly tickets. Don't let this fall by the wayside because somebody's going to be missing out. You're missing out just by the fact that they're doing that.
How much do you want if I want a million?
How much would I want?
Yeah, because I'd have to split it with the person who gave me the Lipton ticket, so it would be $500,000 each. I can't give you any.
I should have something.
Why? What would you give me?
I don't play, so it's not fair. I would, if I were you and I won a million.
No, I'm only going to get $500,000 because I have to split it with the listener.
I'd give me $200,000. Not
really?
Quite half. Half wouldn't be fair, but $200,000, that makes a day. I could pay for, you know, some of my daughter's schooling, which is important. I could get a pool.
See, I was going to say 1,000, but
no,
honestly, 1,000 is not enough.
Not even a dent.
So I'll give you nothing.
Not sure I'm good with that. All right, Judy Pilek will stop by very soon and tell you about the news that's coming up next, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder, and we are live on the stream with Judy Pilek. You are one cold woman. Can I just tell you that? You mean because it's freezing in here?
It's a little brisk in here.
Yes.
Yes.
I have to go get my sweater.
Yep.
I wonder,
and it's boiling hot in the newsroom.
That's what happens this time of year, though. If you notice, you go shopping. I was in the TJ Maxx and Marshall's little combo out in Countryside. They both were. It was so hot in there. And
how hot was it, Johnny?
Here's the thing.
It was so hot.
If you're in a not a grocery store, if you're shopping, I'll spend more time in there if I'm a little chilly.
Yeah.
If I'm sitting there sweating,
yeah,
there have been times I have left a full cart because it's like, I am not waiting in this line because I am sweating.
But you know what? Speaking of grocery stores, don't you feel like the refrigerated aisles are so much colder?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I can't stand going to those aisles now.
Yeah.
They need to put more, and more places are doing that. I noticed if you go into Target, I think it's fun. All the doors, they're closed. It's not wide open. And as you walk by, the light comes on.
Yeah.
Isn't that fun?
Very energy efficient.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
very futury.
It's all closed because still in some of the Jewels and Mariano's, you'll have like, I'm trying to think what it is. Well, the frozen food.
Mariano's does it too by me. The Mariano's by me when you're in the frozen department. And if you're right by the case, it lights up. But
right.
If you're not, it's
right.
Dim.
The frozen ones are always closed, but it's the refrigerated section. It's just freezing. I hate to even go.
Yeah.
That's the one that's open with the butter and the sour cream. And
yeah.
All right. Now, see, our Jewel has that closed up already, but then the.
Close it all up is what I'm saying.
It should.
Yeah.
Jude, remember when there was a time when you watched TV commercials, if it was for food, half of them ended with the phrase, in your grocer's freezer. They would just throw that on at the end. Nobody does that anymore.
Yeah, nobody says that.
I guess people just know now. Well, I guess it's milk. That's
right.
Probably gonna,
exactly. We know
ice cream,
if it's
gonna
frozen,
be there.
It will be in the freezer,
yeah,
generally.
That's where they'll keep it.
Yeah. We've gotten smarter as a people.
I guess so. There was a time where people go, I want to buy that product, but I have no idea where in the store they'll keep it.
This is how far we've come.
That sherbet.
I used to call it the ice box.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So did, don't take this the wrong way.
Your grandma.
My grandmother always called it the ice box.
Why? I think that's because my grandmother and grandparents called it that.
And you know what was next to our ice box?
We were very Chicago in a two flat with the whole family living there.
If you asked my grandmother what was next to the ice box, what do you think her answer would be?
The wood stove?
The Frigidaire.
The Frigidaire.
Every refrigerator was a Frigidaire.
Wait, what's next to the ice box?
Wait, but that was the ice box.
Yeah.
The refrigerator.
The ice box was the refrigerator.
Wait, the ice box wasn't the freezer?
Okay, I'm not going back that long, Bill.
No.
Yes, the ice box was the refrigerator. Well, the ice box was a box.
Here's
way, way back. It was just a
box. Oh, I always thought the ice box was just the freezer.
No,
I didn't
Bill,
know it was
the refrigerator. It's called an ice box because they'd use those big tongs and they'd put a giant hunk of ice in there, close it up so it would keep the other stuff cold.
Oh, I always thought it was a freezer.
No, the ice box.
Because I equate ice with freezing. But they just needed it to keep anything cold.
Yeah.
Wow.
And obviously,
you're
my parents
adorable.
Said ice
well, I'm
box,
just a kid. You guys are older than me.
Yeah.
You guys, you
by
lived
what,
in that
like 3
Calvin
years?
Coolidge world that I'm not familiar with.
I'm
6 months
Coolidge, huh?
I'm 6 months older than him. So he is the same age.
Whole different
generation.
So
what were you saying about ice box?
I was just saying, I called it an ice box. And you know, I'm not that old.
Yeah.
Because my parents did, because their parents did.
Right.
It's just, and then at some point, we switched over to refrigerator or fridge. We always
did the family make a pact? From this day forward, we will only refer to this appliance.
I think maybe it was the week my mom contact papered the refrigerator that we said, all right, now it's
wait,
a refrigerator.
Did she really?
She did. Looked like wood. In the 60s, it was pretty cool.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, she was always trying something new.
Well, I was trying to think what Jimmy Mack said. Our washer broke, and he's been doing the laundry lately, so he came up and he goes, bad news. I said, what? And he called it wasn't the washer. It was, the laundry machine.
The laundry machine.
I said, the laundry machine? What is the you mean the washer? And he's like, yeah, I guess that's what it would be.
And the heating machine isn't doing well either. We don't know what to make of this.
Isn't that funny?
And get me a beer out of the icebox.
Remember when the guys who invented Yahtzee, I want to say Selsho and Ryder, they invented a follow-up game that was essentially just a glorified Yahtzee.
What was it?
Called Kismet.
Or Kismet. Kismet.
I think Kismet. I think you have to say Kismet, I think.
Really?
But it was it was like everything about Yahtzee, except there was like an extra category or two. There was almost no difference.
That's just dumb.
Who do you think
I thought it was Selsho and Ryder.
Who would even know
if
that?
If you're right, I'm gonna throw up.
Oh,
man.
Yahtzee. That'll be fun. You can throw up on demand.
You obviously like saying Yahtzee. Is that what you say when you win?
No, Yahtzee? You say Yahtzee when you roll a Yahtzee, not when you win. So, Judy, you've never played Yahtzee. What do you think you have to do to roll a Yahtzee? What does that mean?
I think you have to get, like, all twos or all fives or something.
All five are the same number at the same time.
One through six.
My favorite game was Sorry, only because then I would say, sorry, to my kids when they were little.
What's the Canadian
sorry,
version of it called?
Mommy won again.
In Canada, it's called Sorry.
Sorry.
And Johnny B plays that,
too. Yeah, good player.
Yahtzee was invented by a wealthy Canadian couple to play aboard their yacht. I don't know if this is true. In 1956, the couple approached businessman Edwin S. Lowe, who had made a fortune selling bingo games in the 1920s, who bought the rights and eventually changed the name of the yacht game to Yahtzee, which and dropped the C in yacht.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that's crazy.
That's the way it was done back then, Wendy.
It doesn't say the name of the people.
I thought it was distributed by Selshow and Ryder.
I don't even know.
I've been living a lie.
Now that I know it was invented by people in a yacht, I'm less inclined.
It's no longer fun?
I don't believe it. A rich people's game.
It doesn't seem like a rich people's game.
It is not like a rich people's game would be burning money or something. I don't know.
Who knows what they played for? That game never took off. See, they probably threw the money overboard. Oop, another 100. Gone.
Crazy wind.
Yahtzee.
Winnie, look how fast my 500 flows away.
You know, I never thought I would like Bunko, but Bunko, I do.
I haven't played that since I was 7.
Well, here's why I like it, because it's more Drunko when we get together.
Drunko?
Yeah, it's Drunko. I think it's like even what we yell out.
So that's also a dice game, though, right?
Yes, not Drunko, but Bunko. It's the same premise. You start with one, you have to get all ones.
Yeah.
Three ones. And you start with guns, then you go on to two.
No, in Yahtzee, you don't have to do them in any order.
It has to be in order. We play several sets of games. And then we win money.
Somebody here at WGN.
Unless it's illegal, then we don't.
It's not illegal.
Okay.
It's perfectly legal. Somebody here at WGN told me that they... Now, this was a game that I thought only my family and friends knew. I didn't think it traveled in bigger circles. But did you tell me that you played Ship Captain Crew? Was that you or somebody else here? You did.
We call it... we never call it that. We call it...
What?
Tell me what you need to, and I can't remember now.
So the way that, if I remember this right, because it's been years and years and years since I played it, you get a circle of people, everybody puts in a quarter, right? And then it's your turn and you go clockwise around a circle. So you have to get a 6, a 5, a 4 in that order. Like you get
to
three rolls.
Safe, to and then safe. 1, 2, 3. Right. But what do we call it? I think it's got a bad word, so I can't say it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We play with dollars.
Let me tell you, that's a rich people's game.
I played one year at my neighborhood block party.
Yeah.
How much did you win?
I won enough to buy a ring at Tiffany's.
What?
Are you kidding me?
Did you win that much money?
It's the cheapest ring there. It was our neighborhood block party. There were a ton of people.
People were drinking, so they kept doing it.
Right. And we kept playing. And we kept... Here's the thing. You get a free... I think when you're out of money, you get one free turn.
Oh, that must be a house rule, because I never heard that.
Yeah, I kept going and going and going, and people kept dropping out. Because it comes down to two people.
So you won hundreds of dollars.
That's left, right, center, too. That's what we do.
Yes, left, right, center, right.
We do that at all our family, Christmas.
We call it, like, something. Yeah, exactly.
And there's the swear word right there.
Yeah.
Yahtzee.
Oh, Yahtzee.
So does the winner yell out, swear word?
No, they don't? We just win at the end. That's a game where you go crazy. Like, we play at home. We play with the family all the time. My kids love that game. And we do play, of course, with them. Because, the pot grows.
Well, you know what my mom used to do?
Win some money.
Because we'd play it if we had a lot of people at the house. But everybody, it was a quarter. And then my mom used to keep this giant jar of quarters. And if people didn't have quarters, she'd give them a bunch
of
quarters.
Your mom was so nice.
But I would explain to my mom, that's not how you do it. Because then win, lose, or draw, you're going to lose money. She didn't care.
She wanted everybody else to have fun.
I guess.
I'm like, your wonderful mom, I would just make change for people.
Oh, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, I would have that quarters and go, what do you
do? Judy has a change belt like the Good Humor Man did.
What, do you got a 20? Hold on a second.
I would love one of those.
I'll get you one. I'll find one at a Goodwill.
You know what? I would love one. Just so when my kids ask me for money now, I can do that. How much you need?
Yeah.
God, those Good humor guy was so fast. 40 cents change. It was
without even looking.
Yep. Bing, bang, boom.
You just knew instinctively where
to
put a sign.
And again, you had what? Good humor trucks in the suburbs? Because in Chicago, we had just independent contractors.
No, we had good humor.
Good humor, and we also had Mr. Softy.
I didn't.
You didn't have Mr. Softy?
Yeah, we had.
That was the guy who had. His head was shaped like an ice cream cone.
Mr. Softy is not someone I need.
Softy. Oh, you're 10 cents
short. That was
short?
Also the name
Don't
of the sex clinic
it.
By us.
Yeah, no. You're a news person. I have to throw something out
not
there.
Not right now.
I have some breaking news. My son Dylan is a freshman in high school, and he just texted me, there was a 10 a.m. walkout today that only three people did, and they're still out there sitting by the flag. Now, I do remember that today was supposed to be that second walkout.
Right.
But there was no organization.
There was some.
Do you remember? Because
you mean
this
the second walkout compared to the one that they had after.
Yes, there was the main one that day, and this was in honor of Columbine that people were going to walk out, but it was not publicized, and I'm feeling kind of bad now that my son said only three people in a high school of thousands. Because no one talked about it. I mean,
no, but there's a huge rally right now at Grant Park with high school students.
You and we did it on the news during Steve's show mentioned
and
it this morning.
Are you sure that your school didn't say to the students, don't plan on it. We're not letting you. Because some schools, you know, they didn't.
Yeah. Right.
I don't think they can say no.
They would look the other way.
But they didn't push it. And some other schools really got into it and said, yes, please do it. And, you know, we encourage you and that kind of thing.
When this first happened, when the kids from Parkland, Florida organized a walkout, which I can't remember what the date was. It was March whenever they did it. When it first happened and they were talking about a walkout, that March date was mentioned and also April 20th. And then people, I remember saying, well, you have to pick one or the other because one's going to get lost in the mix. Plus, today is Hitler's birthday, and it's 420, the Stoner's Day.
Right.
So this one kind of got lost.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's a rally that...
there is one. There's like 20,000 schools around the country that did
that participated.
Yes, that participated. So I just feel like that one in Washington was... so crazy good.
Yeah. I know that you can't follow up.
Yeah,
right.
You're not going to. But, you know, just keep, I guess what they're trying to do is just keeping the conversation going.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you're just,
that's true. Keeping it out there.
You can't always have some huge, you know, event that's going to rock the world.
Did you see Time Magazine just put out the list of their most influential people of the year? And high up on the list were the kids, the survivors from Parkland.
They're on the cover, right?
I think they are on the cover.
Yeah.
I think they are. I don't know if they ranked. Did they rank them numbers 1 through 100, or did they just show them at random? I'm not sure.
Is this the people leading up to the person of the year?
No, these are the most influential. It's not person of the year. No, that's a whole separate.
Which would be?
They do that at the end of the year, don't they?
Yeah.
You know when they usually do the end of the year?
Yeah, because we usually vote on it.
I thought maybe these were just the finalists.
No, I don't think so. Although, when you go through the list, you go, well, yeah, they deserve that guy, and she deserves it. It's really hard to.
Any one of those kids who spoke in Washington, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Including the girl who threw up.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean the actors?
Yeah,
the actors.
The portraying students?
People, the non-students.
Yeah. The girl who threw up, was amazing.
It was amazing. Yeah. I mean, it was real. It was so real.
And Martin Luther King's young granddaughter, that was fantastic,
so
too.
Good.
Which no one really mentioned that was his granddaughter.
There was so much going on. Maybe it got lost in the shuffle to some extent.
Yeah, that should have been.
They said who she was when she came up to talk.
Yeah, but it wasn't honestly like.
But it wasn't because it wasn't about her. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm glad they didn't make a huge deal out of it. It was great, you know, that she was up there. But
I guess
because here she is, you know, the second generation of
it's
all about those students.
All right, well, happy 420.
And to you, Wendy.
I'm going to walk
and
out.
Happy birthday to my son. It's his birthday today.
Oh.
Yes.
It's weird knowing your son has the same birthday as Adolf Hitler.
Well, thank you, Bill, because when he was born, and I remember I called WGN in the morning, and
we
had a guy here, Dick Sutliff, who was passed. And the first thing out of his mouth was, you know, it's Hitler's birthday.
Oh.
I was like, okay, well,
isn't that how he answered the phone?
Hello, Hitler's birthday. He said, hi, is this Judy? You have a son? He's born on Hitler's birthday.
He used to say, hi, hello, when he'd pick up the phone. And management used to say to him, please stop answering the phone that way.
And he would say,
I won't do it.
Only on 420, though.
Right.
420.
The other days, he was very pleasant. Yeah.
And then the next time he answered, he'd be high.
But he was a good teacher. He's a very good teacher.
You didn't know if he was saying high, low, or high, low.
Yes.
Nobody knew.
There you go.
That was his way. He used to enjoy that very much.
Kyle Times Magazine is going to be having a feature today.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Hey, besides us, did you see who's in trouble? David Copperfield.
Yeah. He should be in
trouble. Did he disappear someone and they can't get him back?
Well, it comes from one of his tricks, the Lucky 13 trick, which I was not aware of was even a magic trick. But this is out of MSN today. Now, I thought David Copperfield would get in trouble for something, but I didn't think it was for this. David Copperfield was forced to break the magician's code. Do you know what the magician's code is?
That you can't tell.
You can never divulge the secret to a trick.
Okay. Unless you're Penn and Teller.
Yeah, then you can't. You have to. That's what you do. He was forced to break the magician's code in court on Tuesday when a judge ordered him to explain one of his most famous tricks following a lawsuit from an injured participant. British tourist Gavin Cox, age 58, is suing the illusionist for negligence after he claimed he was injured after taking part in Copperfield's Lucky 13 trick in Las Vegas all the way back in 2013. Cox said he suffered chronic pain and brain injuries following a fall that dislocated his shoulder. He said in his suit that he has spent more than $400,000 so far on medical bills.
Yipes.
Copperfield, who is the world's highest paid magician. Did you know that?
Well, Houdini is dead.
Houdini is dead, it says here in the story. So after Houdini's death, David Copperfield, world's highest paid magician, has performed his Lucky 13 trick thousands of times with no prior incidents. The performance involves randomly selected 13 randomly selected audience members, and he then makes them disappear on stage, only to have them later reappear at the back of the room.
How did the guy fall?
There's a hole in
getting
the stage.
I know. Did he fall, like, tripping on the stage?
I mean, well, a trap door that makes them disappear.
Here's how they say, here's the reveal, and they say, spoiler alert.
Oh, my God, I finally figured out a magic trick.
Yeah.
I can tell by the look on your face well, I'm close.
Did you ever see Siegfried and Roy perform ever?
Just in the bedroom. No, I don't think I did ever.
Ew.
Wendy, on Hitler's birthday. Must you? Come on. All right. So during their performance, I saw them three different times.
And Roy were what's funny German. Is you were yelling at him. Saying, stop saying it's Hitler's birthday, but I'm going to put this image in the listener's head.
So all throughout their performance, Siegfried and Roy, they would be in one place, and then whatever place they were in, whichever one wasn't in the cage, the other one would put a
they
cloak
went in
over
the
it.
Cage. I guess I've never seen.
Yeah, like Siegfried would be. He'd go, "Hey, watch Roy. What are you doing?" And Roy would get in the cage with the tiger, and then he'd put a blanket over it, and then he'd take it out, and then all of a sudden he wasn't in there anymore. And then there'd be a box that was suspended from the the ceiling, and then all of a sudden there he was.
That's
and then,
great.
Yeah, but. Like
Tony the Tiger says.
It was funny
he would
watch.
Go, yeah, under the stage, run up the stairs and back.
Right.
I mean.
Right. Or, can I divulge this? This is something.
You can do whatever you want.
Penn and Teller actually.
It's Hitler's birthday. Go for it. Judy.
Oh, God. That's the wrongest thing I've ever heard anyone say, especially you. All right. So, Penn Jillette explained to me, because I said, I have a theory on how that's done. And he goes, well, whatever your theory is, you're a sensible human being. You know how it's done. And here's my theory. There was more than one Siegfried and more than one Roy. And he goes, absolutely. They would get guys
doubles?
That look like them. Yeah. So all of a sudden, when you see Roy in the cage and then he's gone and he's up there, he goes, how else could you do it? You have a guy who looks like him vanish.
Oh, because it would be in that same 2 seconds.
A second later,
oh, okay. I thought
he's
it
up
would
there.
Be like a minute
because
later.
Even if you saw him run from there to there, he couldn't have gotten there that
right.
fast. It'd be impossible to be there that fast.
It's magic, you guys.
It's all an illusion. Right. Right.
I didn't know that. And no, I know you got to see them perform?
Three times.
And Bozo?
I love magic.
God.
Twice for Bozo, three times for Siegfried and Roy, and one time I saw Siegfried and Bozo perform. What a crazy show that was.
Did they find something in bucket number six?
They used Golly the Gorilla.
Did they make it to bucket number six? That's the question.
That's personal. All right. we're out of time. We can't play. All right, Judy, thank you very much for hanging out. We appreciate it.
Happy Friday.
Well, thank you for saying that.
Yes.
Stop.
You know whose birthday
stop
it is.
Stop
my
it.
Son.
Yeah.
It's my son's birthday.
Happy birthday, Con.
Happy birthday to your little son, Adolf. All right, we'll take a quick break. And then we'll close things off.
It's Jasmine just quit.
On WGN, don't blame her. Well, as it turns out, Wendy, we have run out of time.
Well, that's not fair, right?
Not fair.
But that means we're closer to the weekend now.
Yeah.
Because the weekend is now.
Right outside that door.
Oh,
right outside that door.
Let me get it.
Right outside. I'm hoping you'll come back for Monday. More fun on Monday.
I will. I have a confirmation to attend tomorrow. Dylan's getting confirmed, hopefully. Hopefully all goes well.
I'm pretty sure it will.
I'll try not to swear in church.
Try. See what you can do.
All right.
Break your record. All right. That's it for us, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. More shows ahead for next week. We can't wait. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.